Shabbat Shalom. How you doing? Tell me your name, young man. We're live. Hey, we're live. Check your pulse. We're live. It's good to be alive. Are you alive today? Shabbat Shalom. Is it good to be alive? Was it good to wake up this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. I was good. I was glad to wake up this morning. Thank you. Every day I said, this day I said, Lord, your mercies are new every morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. And no matter what the storms of life we go through and the trials and the tests, God is with us. The tough part is Psalm 37 says, do not fret over evildoers. And the tough part is when evildoers attack you. I'll give you an example. I parked somewhere in my one time. I just say this one time. I parked. A neighbor's mother had died, and I didn't know. So I parked in front of the house of the neighbor on the day of the funeral. I didn't know that the woman's mother had died, and they blocked me in, and they wrote me a nasty note. And I just waited till somebody left so I could move my car out because I couldn't get out, and I didn't do anything intentionally, but they perceived that I was being nasty, you know. They automatically just perceived that I was being a nasty person parking in front of their house on the day of the mother's funeral. I don't read the paper in this town. And I had no idea the woman died. She was very old and sick and had nurses, and I just didn't know, you know. But they perceived that I was a wicked man, you know, and they made sure to let me know I was rabbi, and Rabbi Joe. But, you know, people call me rabbi who aren't, I'm not their rabbi. It's funny, you know, don't call me rabbi if I'm not your rabbi, you know what I'm saying? Thank you, Donna. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. If I'm your rabbi, then you know that's a relationship. You know, that's a pastoral relationship. That's a shepherd relationship. If I'm not your rabbi, just call me Joe, Mr. Joe, whatever, you know. But you know, people, you know, I don't get hung up on titles. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. We're going to talk about titles as we talk about come out of her, my people. I want to welcome everybody. Shabbat Shalom. Y'all Baptists back there, because everybody's sitting in the back. If you want to come forward, I won't bite you, I promise. I just nibble. Where's Terry? Did we lose Terry today? And Anna? I don't know where they went. But anyway, okay, so we're going to get started here. I want to welcome the folks online. Shabbat Shalom. We're glad you're with us today, and so we're going to get started. I think I'm going to get my bass. I hope so. Is my folder in order, Carol? That's okay. We'll swing it. It's all right. It's all. I see the order of service here, so we'll swing it. We'll be good. I don't have a stockbroker. All right, let's begin. We're here. This is the Shabbat. Shabbat means Sabbath in Hebrew. And the Lord said he made the Sabbath for man. Amen. He created the Sabbath and made it holy. It means he set it apart from all other days. Amen. Luke 4 says, as it was his custom, Jesus went to the synagogue. Yeshua went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, on Saturday. The biblical Sabbath, the Jewish Sabbath, is Saturday. Yeshua went to the Sabbath. The front door's open. If somebody could close that, please. Yeshua went to the Sabbath on Saturday. And Anyway, that was his custom. So we follow, we Messianics follow that custom of coming to the synagogue on the Sabbath. So I welcome you. And in Middle Eastern culture, it's customary to extend hospitality to the stranger as well as to friends. Amen? So if you were to go to Israel and you were to go to into the desert and meet a Bedouin traveling in, who had a tent out in the desert, and they had donkeys and camels, and they had, you know, these Bedouins are getting pretty fancy now. They got flat screen TVs, satellite dishes in the desert. I don't know, generators, and they got it all. They get their CNN or their Fox News or whatever. But anyway, they used to not have that, and they'll invite you into their tent. And you have to, when a Bedouin invites you in, you have to go in. It's not an option. And you sit down, and they make you Turkish coffee, and you sit around in a circle, and you talk, and you get to know them. And that's the Middle Eastern way of doing things. So when you come into this house, you're coming into a Jewish house. You know, this is a synagogue. And so we extend you that hospitality. Now today, we usually have lunch, but today we're not going to have lunch to give people a break. But we usually serve people lunch every week. But this one week we're not doing it because we're a little short-handed and people were just a little bit taxed. So we're going to go out to lunch today. But anyway, we're going to start the service. So I was just sharing a little bit of Middle Eastern culture with you. And so let's begin with Shabbat Shalom, okay? Where's Mr. Terry? Is he okay? He's going to play guitar.
Mm-hmm. He's got his stuff here.
I don't know.
Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora v'simcha, Ora v'simcha. Shabbat Menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael, Ora v'simcha, Shabbat Menucha, Shabbat Menucha.
Hey!
Hallelujah! This day for Yisrael. This day for Israel. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy. Sabbath of his rest. Sabbath of his rest.
Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom. Everybody say Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom in the home. Shabbat Shalom, homie. Amen, Margaret. You're going to be my new Mary Brady. Mary Brady used to always praise the Lord. She'd answer me. I appreciate that. All right. The blessing of the Messiah.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam. Asher natan lanu et derech ha-yeshua b'mashiach Yeshua. Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Okay. Ma tovu. Can somebody go try to find maybe one of the kids? Josh, go try to find Mr. Terry and Miss Anna. Make sure they're okay.
Ma tovu, haalecha Yaakov, Mishkan Otecha Yisrael. How goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, thy tabernacles, Israel.
Where you dwell, and the place where your glory resides, I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend the knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayer to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O
God, in your abundant righteousness,
answer me with the truth of your salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, we're going to read do the Vishamru. It's on page 45 in your purple siddur, which is the book in your pew if you want. Well, it's going to be up there too. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat lasor et ha-shabbat ledorotam barit olam. Veshamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamburit olam. B'nei u'b'nei, b'nei Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, od hili olam. B'shamru, b'nei Yisrael, et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamburit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai shemayim v'et haaretz. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamburit olam. V'yom ha-shvi shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash, shabbat v'nafash. V'shamru b'nei Yisrael et ha shabbat. La sod et ha shabbat le doro tamburit olam. Praise Yeshua. And the children of Israel
shall keep the Shabbat.
Diane, why don't you read it?
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come before me, says the Lord.
Shalom, Yerushalayim.
Shalom,
shalom, Yerushalayim.
Shalom,
shalom, Yerushalayim.
Shalom, shalom, Yerushalayim.
Shalom,
shalom, Yerushalayim.
clap for Carolyn. What a strong voice she has. That was you, wasn't it? The servant of the Lord. Who would like to read that? Anne, you want to read that?
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Amen. Amen. Was that the prayer for the Peace of Jerusalem song, or was that instead? Okay. Thank you. I forgot to pray for Israel. So let's bow our heads and let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 122:6 says, "May they prosper who love her, who love Jerusalem. May they prosper." God says. David said, "May they prosper. May you prosper, you who love Jerusalem." Our president moved the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem because he loved Jerusalem. Whether you like him or not, he did a great thing. You know, whether you agree with him, whether you like his politics, whether you think he's ugly or his hands are too small, whatever it is, he moved the embassy of the United States of America, the biggest country and most powerful country in the world, to Jerusalem. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for President Trump. Your word says to pray for our leaders, and we pray for him. Lord, he has many enemies. He has many, many enemies, Lord. The globalist world government and enemies, China, Iran, Russia, hate us, and they hate him. Even the Europeans don't like him, Lord. They don't like the way he does business. They don't like his policies. The drug cartels hate him. Many people in America, half the country, hates him. They walk around cutting off his head and making a mockery of him and calling him names. And one actor said, when was the last time an actor killed a president? Another singer said, I have dreams of blowing up the White House. And so we pray for the safety of the Trump family. We pray for the protection of the President of the United States and his family, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for the good things that he's done, Lord, that people seem to ignore, the many good things like lowering taxes. And there's better and more employment in this country, more jobs than people to fill them. Wages are going up. And although I haven't personally seen it, well, I guess I have. My wife's get a job, so I guess I have seen it. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. My wife got a job. And I said, honey, get a job. So she went and became a jet pilot. Praise the Lord. All right. And I just want to pray, Lord, for Israel, for the salvation of the Jewish people. I want to pray, Lord, that you remove the scales from their eyes. Lord, people may not know this. The news media is not reporting it, but over 100 rockets came into Israel from Gaza yesterday. Over 100 rockets entered into Israel yesterday from Gaza for no reason. They just attacked Israel. And so I pray, Lord, I bind that attack. I pray that those rockets would fall in the fields, that they would blow up on the launch pads. I pray that they would blow up right on the launch pads. I pray that they would go up and turn around and come back and hit the places where they've been sent from. I pray that they'd fall in the desert, Lord. I pray for that Israel will respond and take them out. Your word says in Zechariah, Lord, and I encourage people to look this up sometime. I think it's Zechariah 9 that Gaza will be inhabited by Judah, and there will no longer, the Philistine will no longer inhabit Gaza, but Gaza will be inhabited by Judah, by the people of Jerusalem, and the people of that part of southern Israel. And so I thank you, Lord, that Gaza will one day, because of their strife, they will no longer exist. And they're doing it to themselves. And the poor people of Gaza, I pray for them, that for their salvation too. The people who are victims, who have a government that sends missiles into Israel and takes money, food from babies, and buys weapons. Thank you, Lord. I pray for the Jewish people in America. I pray for their salvation, that you remove the scales from their eyes, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you save them. Pray for my mom, Lord, who's in hospice. She needs you, Lord. She doesn't know you. I pray, Lord, that she comes to know you, her Savior, that she would visit her, Lord, or send a nurse to tell her about you. And she's heard the message from me. She knows who you are. She's heard the gospel. Water those seeds, Lord. Save Harriet. Save her, Lord. Help her to save her. Help her to know the grace and the love of Yeshua. I pray, and my family too, and all my our Jewish friends in America who don't know you. It's time, the time to favor Zion has come. Visit your people Israel, Lord. I pray for their salvation. And bless the rabbis today. I pray for our leadership and our movement. No movement is perfect. And I pray that you remove, and as Isaiah 22 says, remove the spirit of Shebna and replace it with the spirit of Eliakim, Lord. May Eliakim's righteous, and not we war not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities of darkness in high places. And so I pray, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna and bring in the spirit of Eliakim of righteousness and truth into our executive leadership, and that anything that anyone that's not of you would be taken out. I pray, Lord, that the rabbis would have boldness and courage to speak truth and be unafraid. I pray, Lord, that you meet their needs, and health-wise and financially, and bless their families today, and bless our service now. In Yeshua's name, bless Prime Minister Netanyahu as well, Lord. Give him strength as he faces all these threats and challenges, him and his cabinet. Bless, give him strength, Lord. Help President, Prime Minister. I don't know how these men do it. I don't know how they do it. I couldn't go to a country where they had parades against me with balloons mocking me. I don't think I could do it. Thank you, Lord. In Yeshua's name, amen.
Shema.
Okay, I'm going to do the Shema.
All rise for the Shema.
And I just have to find it here. There it is. What's after the Shema, please? If you could prompt me. What?
Mikamoka.
Mikamoka. Okay, let me find that. And what's after that? En Kamocha?
Yes.
There's Mikamocha.
And then Hinametob.
Okay. Let me find Ein Kamocha. I got to get it in order here. So we can flow. You all want to flow, right?
Yes.
Let's flow. They say go with the flow. Flow? Ein Kamocha. Okay. All right. Well, I'll ask you more after that. Okay. Shema Yisrael. Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Givol, Malchuto Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha U'v'chol Nafshecha, ובכל מאודך, והיו הדברים האלה, אשר נלכים מצבך היום על לבבך, ושינתם לבניך, ודיברת בהם, בשבתך בביתך, ובלכתך בדרך, ובשחבך, ובקומך, וקשרתם להיות על ידיך, והיו לתותפות בין עיניך, וכתבתם על מזוזות ביתך, uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children, and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand, and let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorpost of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. By the way, the Shema is Jesus, Yeshua, said that the Shema, where we say V'yahavta, part of the Shema is the V'yahavta, which I sang in Hebrew. Well, you may ask, why do I bother singing in Hebrew when you don't understand it, most of you? I do it because it's the language of the Savior. This is when he read the scriptures in the synagogue, when he went to synagogue. This is the language of the Torah scroll. This is the language of the Bible. So you're getting to hear the original language. And whenever the Bible was read in the synagogues 2,000 years ago, even today, it's sung. Whenever the scripture is read, it's sung. It's not just spoken. It's always sung. And so, anyway, so let's do Micha Mocha. Oldest hymn in the world. You can say that with me. Ba'ein kemasecha malchutcha malchut kol olamim umimsheltecha bechol dor vador Adonai melech Adonai malach Adonai imloch neolam vaed Adonai oz liamo yitain Adonai yivarech et amo bashalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, and there is nothing like your works. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion is throughout all generations. The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Amen. Amen. Okay. Hallelujah. What do we have next there, Carol? Okay, so, all right, so, Torah procession, amen. So, let's see, do we have two strong men here that would like to know how to carry the Torah? Tell you what, Wendell, you feeling up to it? Okay, Wendell, why don't you come up, and Michael, would you like to carry the Torah scroll? Okay, Wendell will show you what to do. Okay, I'm gonna open the gate. No, Vayehibin Soharon Vayomer Moshe
Huma Adonai Viafutsu Avecha Vianusu Misanecha Mikanecha Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Ki Mitzion Tetze Torah Udevar Adonai Mirushalayim Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'dushato.
When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel.
Amen. Hinemato. Okay. Gentlemen. Folks, you can join in the procession. I encourage you to. Shofar. Always underneath. Hold it underneath.
I deny it.
Hallelujah. Praise, give the Lord praise. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. All right. That was good. Good job, young men, Michael and Harley. You've never carried it before. That is the Bible, for those who don't know. In the time of Yeshua, of Jesus, that's what the Bible looked like. It was scrolls. Remember, Paul was in prison. He said, bring me the scrolls. So the Bible is written on scrolls of lambskin, parchment, and so a scribe would write, my people know this, but visitors may not, a scribe would spend up to a year writing a scroll. This is the five books of Moses, and there's a whole, you know, there's the prophets too, and then there's the writings, the Psalms and Job and Esther and all that, different scrolls for every part of the Bible. These are the five books of Moses. And the scribe would write them, he would like a calligrapher by hand, okay, for a whole year. And if he made one mistake, he'd have to start all over again. So hopefully he made his mistake in Genesis. And not the book of Numbers or Deuteronomy, okay? Because he'd have to go all the way back and start all over again. And for that reason, these things cost about $30,000 to $50,000. Now this one survived the Holocaust. It's about 175, 180 years old. It was brought out of Budapest, Hungary, and it's almost not really usable anymore. It's so fragile. It's so old that it's almost fallen apart. And for anybody watching that might want to steal a Torah, this one's only worth about $3,000 because it's not new. So not that anybody wants to steal a Torah, but just I said how much they are worth new. This is not a new one. But it is precious because it survived the Holocaust. So carrying it is really cool. It's neat to be able to carry the Torah. We don't worship the book. We worship the God of the book. Amen. But this is Jewish custom to parade with the Torah. Okay. All right. So now we're going to conclude. Vizot HaTorah Asher Sam Moshe Lifnei Bnei Yisrael Al Pi Adonai Biyad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hands. Amen. And then you can return it and we'll sing Eitz Chaim.
Eitz Chaim hi Emazikin ba Betokeha Ve'yushar Derakeha Darkenoam Bechol tivoteha Shalom Ashibenu
Wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who uphold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days as of old.
Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Yamod Asher ben Zedekiah. Baruch et Adonai Hamavorach. Baruch Adonai Hamavorach Yolam Vahed. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. Asher bachar banu mikol hamim. Ena atan lanu et Torato. Baruch atah Adonai Notein HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the Blessed One. Blessed is the Lord, the Blessed One for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord our God,
giver of the Torah.
Yes, giver of the Torah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, and it's not Asher ben Zedekiah. It's Yosef ben Aharon. Because Asher ben Zedekiah is on a beach right now. So that's Anthony, and I'm Yosef ben Aharon, and I'm
a long way to come.
And I'm not on a beach. So life is a beach, but I'm not on one. Okay, I don't have my wireless, so I'm gonna use this. But if you'll bring it up, and then I'll get ready afterward. Let me just get my glasses here, if you'll excuse me. You know, there's a joke. A Jewish man and his wife, he comes home, and he says, "Honey, I'm home." And she says, I'm hiding in the front closet. And he says, "Darling, I'm home." And she says, "I'm hiding in the front closet." Let's close that door, okay? Thank you. She says, "I'm hiding in the front closet." And he says, "My love, I'm home." And she says, "I'm hiding in the front closet." And he says, "I have that new mink coat I promised you." And she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I blew the joke." She says, "I'm hiding in the front closet." I messed it up. I was supposed to say, she said, "I'm hiding," and then at the end she says, "I'm hiding in the front closet." Okay, all right. I'm trying to do so many jobs, but I don't know where my headset microphone is. Test 1, 2. Okay, we're just going to get that ready. And I'm going to use this, okay? So let's pray for the word of the Lord, for this part of the message. Abba, Father, we just thank you for your word right now. And in Yeshua's name, just bring forth this drash, this midrash. And Amen. Amen. I have two things I want to share with you right now, not necessarily related to this week's Torah portion, but they are from the Torah. So if you turn with me to Exodus 32, and actually hold your place there, and turn to Psalm 105. In Psalm 105, talking about the story of children of Israel and Joseph, Jacob, and talks about Joseph being sold into Egypt in verse 17. But in verse 14, he said he permitted they wandered about, verse 13, they wandered about from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He permitted no man to oppress them, and he reproved kings for their sakes. Do not touch my anointed ones. Hear me. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. Okay? Let's all say that. Do not touch my anointed ones, and do my prophets no harm. When you see a man of God, or a woman, even a woman of God, when you see a person of God, when you see a man of God, and you see them lay hands and the sick are healed, when you see them give a prophetic word, a prophecy, and your spirit tells you, this is a man of God, okay? I've met thousands, but I haven't met hundreds of thousands. I haven't met tens of thousands. I've met in the thousands, maybe 2,000 men of God, 3,000, who I could say, that's a man of God. Or maybe that's a prophet of God. You know, someone who's prophesied something. But the point is, he says, do not touch my anointed ones. Do my prophets no harm. Okay? So let's turn now to Exodus 32. This is the golden calf. Moses went up the mountain. Now, Moses was chosen by God. And Moses was chosen by God to lead his people out of bondage. Amen? He had a special calling on his life. Amen? Moses had a special calling on his life. Now, God says that the chosen people are holy. Amen? He says they're a holy people. You are a holy nation. Deuteronomy 6 and 7. God says that the chosen people are a holy nation. Peter says in the New Testament, he says of New Testament believers, he says those who believe, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But that doesn't mean that gives people the right to strike the man of God. Okay? And that means with your words. Let's see what Moses says here, okay? Okay, so Moses came down the mountain. So what had Moses done? Moses had taken the people out of Egypt. Moses had with God's power, Moses had struck the waters and turned them to blood. Moses had Pharaoh wouldn't repent, so Moses brought frogs upon the land. Moses brought flies. Moses, through God's power, brought locusts. He turned his staff into a snake to convince Pharaoh, and he said, "Let my people go." Amen. He said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And God met him at the burning bush, when he was 40 years out in the wilderness. God met him at the burning bush and said, "Take your shoes off, you're standing on holy ground." There was a man in the burning bush who's probably the Messiah, and the man in the burning bush, who wasn't burning himself, said, gave him his calling and said, "I'm sending you to Pharaoh to deliver my people Israel from bondage." Amen. "I'm sending you, Moses." And Moses said, "Who am I? Who am I?" This is great stuff. Because if you're called to serve God, you should probably say, who am I to serve God? Who am I that you want to send me? It's the people that are so, "Yeah, give me the keys to the car, Dad." Those are the ones I'm scared of. But when somebody is fearful and timid about serving God, that's the kind of person I like to see. Because they're not hungry for position. They're not hungry for title or power. They're not hungry for, they're not hungry for, "I want to show you my stuff," okay? Now, I understand young men have testosterone and they want to prove themselves. a lot of young men. It's true. A lot of young preachers are zealous, and I was when I was 30, 31, 32, maybe 35 even. But, you know, you mellow out. As you get older, you mellow out, and hopefully, you know, you calm down, you mellow out a little bit. But Moses did, so he took them out of Egypt. He told them what to do. He told them to paint the blood on the doorposts of their homes. He got them free from slavery. Everybody say he freed them from slavery. Freed them from slavery. Could somebody, Michael, could you grab that chair for me and just put it right behind me, please? Thank you, young man. He's a strong young man. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So, Moses, did Moses do a lot for the people? I don't know. You don't seem to think so. Did Moses do a lot for the people? Yeah. Amen? Amen. He did a lot, didn't he? But then he went up the mountain, and it says, now when the people saw in chapter 32 that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a god who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Aaron said to them, tear off the gold rings which are in the ears of your wives and your sons and your daughters and bring them to me. Then all the people tore off the gold rings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took this from their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool and made it into a molten calf. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you up from Egypt. And they began to worship this cow. You see, listen. You can take the people out of Egypt, and we're going to talk about this today in the message, come out of her, my people. You can take the people out of Egypt, but it's harder to take Egypt out of the people. You can take the people out of Egypt, Jewish people too, but it's harder to take Egypt out of the people. And so why I say that? Because the cow was the god of Egypt. The cow was one of the gods of Egypt. The cow was one of the gods of Israel. The false gods, Baal, was a bull. Interestingly, the sign and symbol of the stock market is a bull. And, you know, the bull is still out there. And the fertility goddess, we're going to talk a little bit about the whore that rides the beast today. The fertility goddess, she's still out there riding the beast. She's the same as Asherah. Or you might know her as Ishtar. In Egyptian, she was Isis. And in Babylonian, she was Ishtar. And in English, she's Esther or Easter. Easter, okay, is the same name for that pagan goddess. And remember, they changed Hadassah in the book of Esther. They changed her name, Hadassah, which meant myrtle, to Esther. Why did they change it to Esther? Because they were changing it to the name of a pagan fertility goddess. Why were they changing her to a pagan fertility goddess? Because the king was a god. The king of the book of Esther in Persia was like a god. And so his wife needed to be a goddess. If he was a god, right? His wife needed to be a goddess. So they named her after a goddess. And since she was his wife and he wanted children, didn't he want heirs? So they named her after a fertility goddess, Ishtar, Esther. Isn't that something? Isn't that amazing? Okay, so let's read on here. So Moses comes down the mountain in verse 19, and it came about as soon as Moses came near the camp, he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger burned, and he threw the tablets from his hands and shattered them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf which they had made and burned it with fire and ground it to powder and scattered it over the surface of the water and made the sons of Israel drink it. Then Moses said to Aaron, what did this people do to you that you have brought such great sin upon them? Aaron said, do not let the anger of my Lord burn. You know the people yourself that they are prone to evil. For they said to me, make a god for us who will go before us. But this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. I said to them, whoever has any gold, let them tear it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and came out, and Aaron said, they gave it to me, I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. Wow, I'd like to try that. Hey, I'll give me your gold earrings, and I'll throw them in a fire and see a calf come out, okay? That's interesting. My father-in-law, Bert, he specializes in mating cows. He's a doctor of animal husbandry, and he creates dairy farms in foreign countries, or used to. And he built in countries, third world countries that didn't have dairy farms, he would teach them how to start a dairy farm. And that involved mating cows. They don't come out of fires. Just FYI. I learned that from my father-in-law. Cows don't come out of fires, okay? Just a little piece of trivia there. So when verse 25, so when Moses saw that the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them out of control to be in a derision among their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, whoever is for the Lord, come to me. Whoever is for the Lord, come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered to him. Okay? All the sons of... He said to them, thus says the Lord, then the... He says, every man of you put his sword upon his thigh and go back and forth from gate to gate in the camp and kill every man his brother and every man his friend and every man his neighbor. So the sons of Levi did as Moses instructed, and about 3,000 men of the people fell that day. By the way, that was Pentecost. That was the first Pentecost. And 3,000 died under Moses because the letter kills and the Spirit gives life. Under the New Covenant, Acts 2, 3,000 were added. Same day. Isn't that something? Praise the Lord. But the point of this that I'm making is that Moses said, whoever is with the Lord, come stand by me. Come stand by me. Amen? And I can't tell you how critical it is. Turn to Zechariah chapter 8. Turn to Zechariah chapter 8. If God has called you to the Jewish people, some people are called to the Chinese people. Some people are called to the Mexican people. Some people are called to the Honduran people. Some people are called to the Afghan people or the Jordanians or the Syrians. Amen. But some people, non-Jews, Gentiles, Christians, and even Jews. I could have been a Christian. I went to a church when I first got saved, but God sent me to, the pastor sent me to a Messianic Jewish synagogue. The pastor. He said, Joe, just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean you have to stop being Jewish. I said, really? He said, yeah, there's a place called a Messianic Jewish synagogue. See, before I was Messianic, I was just a mess. But he said, there's a place called a Messianic Jewish synagogue, and he said, you should check it out. And I walked in, and I watched them dancing, and they were singing, Come Let Us Go Up. I said, wow, this is who I am. I'm a Messianic Jew. But you know what? You don't have to be Jewish to be Messianic. And we're going to talk about that today, okay? You don't have to be Jewish to be Messianic. You just have to be a mess. All right, let's look at Zechariah 8:23. All right? Raise your hand if you were a mess before you met Jesus. Praise the Lord. We were all messes. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen? Every hand should have gone up. All right. Zechariah 8:23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from all nations will grasp the garment of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Folks, we're in those days. We're in those days. Turn to Psalm 103. Turn to Psalm 103. We'll have Psalm 133 before I get to Psalm 103. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. In unity. Psalm 103. Okay. and says, maybe it's Psalm 102. Yes. Oh, help me find it, Lord. I think it's Psalm 103. Okay. It's somewhere it says, for the time to favor Zion has come. It's 102 verse 13. Thank you so much. Psalm 102 verse 13. He says, you will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time has come. He says, I'll read it again. You will arise and have compassion on Zion, for it is time to be gracious to her, for the appointed time, the set time has come. And God says in Romans 11 that he did turn away, he cut the Jewish branches who didn't accept Jesus off the olive tree. But he says, I will have mercy on them. They will come back and be grafted into their own olive tree. If you read Romans 11, he says the Jewish people, he says, they will find mercy. Everybody say, they will find mercy. Amen. Let's turn to Romans 11 and let's look at it for a second. I don't want to just tell you that. And then I'm going to conclude. Romans 11. Okay. Verse 1, I say then, God has not rejected his people, the Jewish people, has he? God forbid, the King James says. For I too am an Israelite, Paul says, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Or do you not know what the scripture says about Elijah or Elias, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets, they have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they are seeking my life. But what is the divine response to him? I have kept for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Remember, Baal is that bull. In the same way, then, there has also come to be at the present time a remnant of Jewish people, according to God's gracious choice. I'm part of that remnant. But if it is by grace, it is no... So I'll go on. What then? What Israel is seeking, it has not obtained. But then he goes on in verse 11. He says, for I say then, they did not stumble, the Jews, so as to fall, did they? May it never be. But by our transgression, my people, salvation has come to the Gentiles to make the Jewish people jealous. So through the transgression, by not even just the Jewish people, but by the leaders rejecting Jesus when he came, by the leaders, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, rejecting him as the Messiah and the king, salvation came to the Gentiles to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Let's read on. He says, now if their transgression, my people, is riches for the world, so in other words, if my people failed and rejected the Messiah, brought riches to the world. Let's read on. He says, and our failure is riches for the Gentiles. Everybody say riches for the Gentiles. How much more will their fulfillment be? How much more what? Riches. How much more riches will their fulfillment be? When the Jews come back to faith in the Messiah, how much more riches will their fulfillment, will the Gentiles, the church, the Christians, how much more when the Jewish people come back? How awesome is it that you're a part of it? Isn't that? Pat yourself on the back and say, that's awesome. Pat your neighbor on the back and say, that's awesome. I'm part of the Jews coming back to Israel. I'm part of it. I'm going to get greater riches. You may not even want greater riches, but you're going to get them because you're part of it. All right? Okay, let's go on. And then he says, but I am speaking to you who are Gentiles, and as much then as I am an apostle of Gentiles, I magnify my ministry, if somehow I might move to jealousy my fellow countrymen and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will our acceptance be but life from the dead? I've told pastors for years the greatest revival in the world is when the Jewish people come back to the Messiah. It says it right here. What is a resurrection? What is life from the dead? What is when a person is medically dead? Do we have a nurse in the room? Is there a nurse here? Doctor? Okay, well, I'll tell you. When you're medically dead, you flatline. Okay, when you're medically dead, you flatline. Okay? So when they hit you with the electric defibrillator and you come back to life, that's a resurrection. All right? That's a resurrection. That's a revival. You revive someone who's died. Someone dies from a heart attack, and the people come in with the defibrillator, and they work on them, and they're pumping on the chest, and they're breathing in their mouth and all that, and then they revive them. If they come back to life, they revive them. Everybody say they revive them. Okay. So Paul says here, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? There'll be a revival. That when the Jews come back in big numbers, there'll be revival, even here in Bristol. But I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have an authentic Messianic Jewish community, I can't promise you you'll have a revival. If you don't have an authentic Jewish Messianic congregation here, and as God is my witness, He sent me here 20 years ago. Some of you know me. 19 years, 18 years, right? And if you know me, if you really know me, you know that I never would have come here on my own. You've seen me lay hands on the sick and they be healed. How many of you have seen me lay hands on the sick people in wheelchairs? Raise your hands if you've seen it. Praise the Lord. Okay. If you've seen lay hands on people and their backs get healed, raise hands if you've seen it. Okay, you guys look around the room. If you see me, it's not my power, it's God. It's not me, it's God. I've seen people healed of cancer through these hands. I've seen mute tongues speak by saying, putting my hands on a person, usually an elderly woman, who couldn't speak when I was asked to do it. And say, you deaf, you dumb, mute spirit, come out in the name of Yeshua. And two elderly women who were bedridden, very old, and hadn't spoken in years, opened their mouths and began to speak. I went to the hospital. We had a gal here years ago named Lynn Varney. And I went to her hospital. Her mama was dying of breast cancer in Abingdon Hospital. And I went up there, and she was looked old as could be. She was only in her 50s. She looked like an old woman. And I prayed over her, and God healed her of breast cancer. They went to look for the tumor, and they couldn't find it. And then she went off, and she didn't turn to God, and she went to partying, and cancer came back on her about seven, eight months later. And then I went to her. Then I called to her. I was called to her bedside, and I led her to the Lord. And at that same time, when I led her to the Lord, I heard Brenda Viers call me down the hallway. Is that you, Brother Joe Bell? Brother Joe Bell, is that you? Brother Joe Bell, would you come and pray for my mother? And I went down the hall. I love the way she talks. I love Brother Sister Viers. She's just so precious. So I went down the hall, and I went to her room, and I prayed for her mother, who was dumb, who was mute, and she spoke. So we had a salvation and a healing. Okay? All right. Wendell, how many times has your back been healed? 3 times in this place. Has your knee been healed here? Wendell had a concrete mixer fall on him. Concrete mixer, shoot. 1,200 pounds full of concrete. 1,200, 1,300 pounds of concrete fall on him and land on his chest in a foundation. And he... This man sitting right there carrying that Torah with supernatural strength from God picked up that concrete chute and pushed it off. But he hurt his back and he couldn't bend. And he came here and we prayed over him
God, say it again. Say it loud.
And Yeshua healed me.
How many of you saw it? Did you see it? Raise your hand. Hallelujah. And not only that, his back was, he got healed his back last week. I've seen him. This guy, I wish I got healed as much and as often as quickly as Wendell did. I what's going on? What have I done? He's the Lord. Okay, so, but I'm going to tell you something. That lady across the street, and I forgive her, the lady across the street from me who struck me with a nasty letter because I didn't know that, you know, I'm a Jewish rabbi. I'm the Lord's anointed. I'm a man of God, and I may be a prophet. I don't call myself a prophet, but maybe I am. If God shows you that, praise the Lord. I don't have to go around calling myself prophet. I did predict that Donald Trump would be president 9 months before he was elected. I did predict that he would destroy ISIS. I did predict that he would get close to Israel. I predicted he would deal with North Korea. I predicted that he would the economy would boom when he became president. And I predicted all these things that have come to pass. And I predicted that he would destroy radical Islam. And I predicted that in the end, that the Jews, he would help the Jews fly home, which hasn't come to pass yet, and that eventually he'll destroy Iran's nuclear capability. Amen? I predicted that. Now, is that prophetic? 9 months before, that was like a pregnancy. 9 months before it happened. 9 months. There were other people running for office still. There were still other Republicans. It wasn't just Bernie and Hillary. There were other Republicans. Okay, so what's my point? So this lady sent me a nasty letter thinking that I had parked in front of her house, and she attacked me. In the letter, it was nasty. She attacked me. Okay? And I want to just say this to you about Moses. You know, Miriam and Aaron came to Moses and they said, "You're no better than us. We're holy too." And they are. They were holy. But Moses was chosen to do a job. Amen? Moses was chosen. And so I want to tell you today, people, think real hard before you strike a man of God. Before you strike him with your tongue. Before you strike him with your curses, before you strike him with your gossip, before you strike a man of God with evil talk and such, okay? Because it's gonna come back on you. As a man sows, so shall he reap. As a man sows, so shall he reap. And you know, it's bad enough. God doesn't want us to curse anybody. He says, bless our enemies. Even if you have an enemy, God says, bless your enemies. And I pray for my enemies. I pray for my enemies. Amen? But you know, I have worked, and I won't say I'm perfect, you know, but I won't strike. Even a president is the Lord's anointed. Did you know that? A president of the United States is the Lord's anointed. How do I know that? Because God called King Cyrus in Isaiah 45 his anointed. God anoints, the Bible tells us, I believe in many places, but I think in Job 19 it says that God raises up kings and he takes them down. You know, God raises up leaders and he brings them down. Amen? Don't strike the Lord's anointed. I used to say things about certain presidents in the past 20 years, 25 years. I used to make jokes, and I used to, you know, there was the whole Monica Lewinsky stuff, and I used to make comments and stuff. And God convicted me, and he said, "Joe, stop it. This is my anointed. I'll deal with his sin. It's not your issue. It's not your problem. It's not your problem. Amen. Beware. And I want to talk about this one last point about the olive tree. He says, verse 24, talking about the Jews. I was talking about the mercy of the Jews, God showing mercy to the Jews. And actually, it's in verse 17. He says, "But if some of the branches of Romans 11 were broken off, and you, being a wild olive, were grafted in among them," talking about the Gentiles, "and became partaker of them with the rich root of the olive tree," he says, "do not be arrogant toward the branches. Don't be arrogant toward the Jews. But if you are arrogant, remember that it is not you who supports the root, but the root supports you." That's the Jew. "You will say then, branches, Jews, were broken off so that I might be grafted in." Quite right. They were broken off for their unbelief. But you stand by your faith. Do not be conceited, but fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. "Behold then the kindness and severity of God to those who fell." Severity, but to you, God's kindness. If, everybody say if, "you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also will be cut off." Be very careful about attacking not only the man of God, but a Jewish man of God. It says here, you could be cut off. Right there. Not me. It's not Joe's words. It's God's word. "And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in." Ooh, the Jews. "If they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut off, you Gentiles were cut off from what is by nature a wild olive tree, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these who are natural branches, the Jews, be grafted into what? Their own olive tree. Whose olive tree is it? The Jews. It's their tree. So if the Gentile or the wild branch is grafted into the olive tree, and the Jews, like me and other Jews who are grafted in, like Jonathan Burness and Joel Chernoff, were grafted back into the olive tree, it says it's their tree. It's my tree. Amen. Giovanna's Jewish. It's your tree. It's our tree. You like that? I don't know why you would. if you're not Jewish. He's good to you. And the church is bigger than the Messianic Jews. But I'm going to tell you something. If it's our tree, what does that mean? If I possess something, if I own a ranch in Texas, and I want to call it the bar. What was the ranch in Dallas? The movie Dallas, the TV show Dallas. Give me a name of a ranch, somebody. The King Ranch? Okay, the King Ranch. All right? So the King Ranch. So if I own a ranch down in Texas, and I'm a rancher, and I'm driving a Cadillac with horns on the front of it, and I got my big 10-gallon hat and my cowboy boots and $10 million in the bank, and I want to name my ranch the King of Kings Ranch, do I have the right to do it? Put a sign up, King of Kings Ranch? You guys are asleep. Yes or no? Amen. Amen. If I want to call it the Joe Bell Ranch, can I do it? Yeah. I wouldn't do it. I think it would be dumb to put my own name on a ranch, but I could do it, right? And if the olive tree is mine, it's my olive tree. The tree that you're grafted into belongs to me. Did I make it up? Does the Bible say it? Bible says it's our tree. So does that give us the right to call ourselves what we want to call ourselves? Does it call, like the King Ranch, King of Kings Ranch? Does it give it a right? Do I get to call my house, if I want to call my house,
Holston?
If I want to call myself, I want to call this Kingtown Synagogue. Do I have that right? Yeah. And you know what else? I have the right to call myself a Messianic Jew. I have the right. In fact, not only that, I call the whole church the Messianic Jewish community. I call it because it's mine. The whole church, I'm calling it the Messianic Jewish community from here on out, because it belongs to me. And what God has given to me and shown me in Deuteronomy says, and God has revealed to me, I possess. But I'm just kidding. I'm not naming the church the Messianic Jewish community. I'm just saying I'm a Messianic rabbi and this is a Messianic synagogue. And if you're Messianic, you have to decide today if you're going to take these fringes and hold on to this rabbi. You need to decide. You can't have one foot in two kingdoms. You have to have both feet. You can be a seeker. This is for members, okay? This is not for visitors, what I'm saying here. If you're a seeker and you're checking this out, God bless you. This doesn't apply to you. But if you've been here for a year or longer, you should know if God's calling you to this, to the Messianic, or if God's calling you to a church. Okay? If you've been here for a year or longer, you should know if God's calling you here or God's calling you there. But you can't have a foot in both worlds, because James 1:8 says a man who is double-minded is unstable in all his ways. You can't be in both places. You can't have allegiance to two leaders. You have to make up your mind and answer the call of God on your life. If you're a member here, you have to decide if this is your home. It doesn't matter if you like me. It doesn't matter if I, you know, I'm human. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to offend people. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm having a tough time right now, okay? But that doesn't matter. Test 1, 2. That doesn't matter, does it? That doesn't matter whether I'm having a bad day or a good day. You've never heard me yell. I get accused of yelling at people. You know, no one in this congregation has ever heard me yell at a person in this congregation. Nobody in this congregation has ever heard me yell or scream. Oh gosh, you don't want to hear me scream. You wouldn't. Is Joshua here? Joshua, do we have a peaceful home? Okay. Sometimes we have, like, you know, we have arguments, right? Do we have often, or do we have quiet and peace more often? Peace. Joshua says peace. We have a very quiet house. In fact, you come into our house, me and my two sons, you won't know anybody's there. Right? It's so quiet, you won't even know anybody's there. Me and my two boys, we get along great. Okay, so think real hard before you strike God's anointed and God's prophets. Do not touch my prophets and do my anointed no harm. Amen? And that's my message for Anthony today. Praise God. I love you all, but I'm letting you know, your words, when you strike a man of God with your words, like that woman wrote me that nasty letter, it's not good. You know, it's unwise. Some people don't like that. They don't want to hear it.
But that's tough.
Now, see, now I have flabby microphone. That.
I'll rise for the closing of the Torah. Vitzur ha-Torah, Asher Shem Moshe, Lifnei b'nei Yisrael, Pi Adonai, B'yad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Et ra'ayim ha-mazikim ba v'tokecha v'yusha de'ra'eha d'arhenoa v'chol tivoteha
Hashimenu Adonai Elecha Benashuva Avadesh Avadesh Yomenu Avadesh Yomenu
And all who uphold her are blessed.
Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace.
Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return.
Renew our days as of old.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
See, I wanted to tell you that because if you're here, you should know it. It's the people out there that don't know it. And people who strike the Jews, do you know, you remember Pastor Bill Christian came and taught about replacement theology? Yes. He taught about how the church has anti-Semitism in the church. The monitors are so loud we're getting squeaking. If we could lower just a hair, please. Pastor Bill Christian taught for 2 weeks on how anti-Semitism is in the church. And it's not to say that the whole church is anti-Semitic, or that all Christians are anti-Semitic, but that anti-Semitism still exists in the church. Isn't that what he said?
Yes.
Okay. I listened to some of his message. So what's my point? My point is the world needs to know that when they strike the Jew, they're bringing curses on themselves.
Yes.
God said, and Anthony preached this in Numbers a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever. He preached in Balaam, still getting some squeaking. He preached in Balaam. He said, and it says in Numbers 24, how lovely are thy tents. You can sit down. How lovely are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy courts, dwelling places, O Israel. And then he goes down. He says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. I will bless those who bless you. So, as Joshua said, I'm going to sing it today, because I've been under attack this week. Several people, I've had at least 3 or 4 people attack me verbally, or mostly verbally, or by actions this week. I'm just going to say this. Think twice before you strike anybody verbally or in any other way, but especially a Jewish rabbi. I wouldn't do it. Okay? I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it to my rabbi. I've had rabbis. I've had past people say things on stage here. I would never go into a church and trash a pastor from the stage. I wouldn't trash him off the stage. But I've seen it done. Anyway, let's go on. What's next then? Announcements. Okay. Well, you're getting to hear a lot of media. Well, the good news is we don't have a lot of announcements. In fact, there's nothing on the calendar. So we have no... Ted Pierce isn't coming, and McAdam came. Who liked McAdam?
Hallelujah.
Amen. Wasn't that an awesome night? We had a great night. We had a great night with McAdam, and that was over at New Life Baptist Church. We're working with Pastor Bill and Pastor Coy on building a covenant relationship where we can do things together, this congregation together with that congregation. That's the plan, is for us to do things together and for us to eventually move into their extra campus. And I've talked to a realtor. I'm going to talk to a meeting with a realtor on Monday, so be in prayer. Meeting with a realtor Monday about, you know, we're planning, looking at moving over to their empty, they have an empty church facility, and it's in a beautiful hill overlooking a red barn. And they're, you know, we're looking at moving and renting from them, or, you know, working out some kind of relationship. So we're going to put this on the market. We're not going out of business. We're just looking at moving.
We're going to continue the Messianic movement, right?
That's right. Amen. So praise the Lord. So we had a great time with McAdam. Amen. We had a great time. So we're planning fall feasts with New Life. We're planning to have special Sukkot outdoor on their campground. We're planning to have special Sukkot meetings and other events in a revival. We're planning a prophecy conference with them to come up. So I want to say one other thing. When I set the air conditioning to 69, somebody keeps turning it up to 70. You don't have to admit it right now. But the reason I turn it to 69 is because it gets a hot in here with people and lights. So I turn it to 69 so it stays cool, because once it gets hot outside, I can't cool it off. I have to cool it overnight, and it cools down. But once, if somebody goes and turns it up on me to 70, it just doesn't stay as cool in here, okay? So please don't change it. I leave it at 69 on Fridays. Please just, whoever's doing it and turning it up in the morning, what you're doing is you're heating the place up, and the lights and the people and the breath and all that and the dance, and it makes it hot or warmer. And so I see people fanning themselves. And so I can't cool it off to a comfortable temperature if you turn it up, okay? So please leave it at 69. And then last thing, Dawn has 2 weeks of training, and she will be a first officer. Hallelujah. Praise God. 2 more weeks left, and she'll be the first officer. Aren't you proud of her?
Yeah.
Our Revitson is going to be a first officer on a jet. And, I mean, you know, just for... God, I've been around her with the men that she works with, and it's really a man's world in that airline business. I'm ringing, Carol. My mic's ringing here. It's a man's world. All her guys she trained with, it was training with guys, you know, going to class with guys. Mostly guys are pilots, okay?
Yeah.
It's like joining a football team. Seriously. It's like joining a nerdy football team, okay? I don't know if that helped. So anyway, now that made me louder. You're making me louder, honey. I don't know what's going on back there. Diane, can you go help her? I don't know if you know. I don't know. Test 1, 2. Okay, that's a little soft now. Test 1, 2. So anyway, that's good right there. Right there, that's good. Beautiful. Okay, we're good. We're good. Okay, thank you. All right, so anyway, so Dawn's going to be she's going to be a jet pilot. But let me just say this, guys. She's going to fly us back to Israel. That's why we're under so much attack right now. So we're under so much attack right now because Dawn is going to fly. She's going to help fly. But how many of you, raise your hand if you know I've been saying this for 20 years. Raise your hand high if you've heard me say in the last 20 years, 12 years ago, 10 years ago, that Dawn is going to be a pilot and she's going to help fly Jews back. Do you remember me saying that? Raise your hand if you do. Praise the Lord. Look around you. See the hand. Raise your hand high. Hold them up. If you remember me saying that Dawn's going to fly, amen? Praise the Lord. Okay. So is it happening? Is she becoming a jet pilot? Was that a prophecy?
Yes.
All right. All right. Now, why am I saying that about a prophecy? Because I'm saying to you, I'm a man of God. Was David perfect? He slept with Bathsheba. No. Was Moses perfect? No. He killed a man. He murdered somebody. I'm not perfect either, but I'm a man of God. All right? And I've been struck several times this week by several different people. So be careful. All right. So, but my point is, Revitson, this is so important. This is your future going to Israel depends on her. You can joke about it. You can run from it. But if you want to go to Israel, I'm going to tell you, this country's going down when Trump's gone. All the anger. Ted Pierce said this to me. This is what Ted Pierce said. You know what he said? When he came to do a concert, he said, "Joe, when Donald Trump's gone, all the anger that was directed toward Donald Trump and his people is going to be directed towards Christians, Jews, gun people, NRA, Second Amendment people, people who are related to Jews and Christians, family of Jews and Christians, Republicans. All the anger that was directed at Donald Trump and his cabinet, because he controls the military and the Secret Service and the federal marshals and ICE and all these things, they can't take him out. But one day he will be gone, okay? And when they do, I don't want to be here. Do you? Don is going to help fly us out. I've been saying it for 20 years, and I stand on it. Stand on it today. She's gonna help fly us out. Do you want to be on that plane?
Amen.
Ezekiel 20 says in verse 33, "With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, I will be king over you, says the Lord. And I will take you out of the countries where I've scattered you. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples. And there I will enter into judgment with you face to face." Or as the King James says, I will plead with you. Well, is he going to plead with those people, with the Jewish people, when he brings them out of the places where he scattered us, the country, usually the cities? I come from Boston. And bring us into the wilderness of the peoples. This is part of that wilderness. It's not the only one, but it's one of the wildernesses. Look at the knotty pine walls here. We're in the wilderness, okay? This is Camp Ar Yehuda. Okay, you're in Camp Ar Yehuda. We're just missing the bunk beds. So God says, "And I will purge the rebels. I will make them pass under the rod. I will make the people pass under the rod, and I will judge them. And I will purge the rebels." Listen to me. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel. "I will purge the rebels, and they will not enter my land." I will purge the rebels, and they will not enter my land. Take that to heart. Take that to heart. Okay. Pray for Dawn. Pray for her success, because your life may depend on it. And the attack we're going through right now, some of you think I'm a joke. Some of you think I'm, you know, you're blowing it off. It doesn't matter to you. But for those who it does matter to, take it seriously. Let's build a wall of unity and prayer. Pray her through these 2 weeks. Pray me and the kids through. That's all I'm asking. Help us get through these 2-3 weeks that she's got till she graduates. And you'll get on that plane. And I believe she is going to pass.
Amen.
I believe she. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You don't know how hard it is. I haven't, because people. You know, somebody said I was being a baby. I was accused yesterday of being a baby and told to put on my big boy pants because I shared my burden. Bible says share your burden one to another. Somebody told me I was being a baby and I needed to put my big boy pants on. Okay? Because I shared the burden. Dawn is struggling. She's struggling. Okay? And she has the biggest flight. If she has to pass this flight tonight, she's going to fly that plane in a simulator for the first time. Everything she's done up to now, they could stop the flight. She's been sitting at a computer that looks like a plane. But now she's going to be in an actual cockpit, like a ride at Disney World. And once the ride starts, you can't stop it.
That's right.
And she said to me, Joe, she said, the plane goes so fast. It takes off like a bat out of you know where. She said, I've never done anything so fast. She flew Cessnas. And she flew big old DC-10, like a big old boat, like the Titanic taking off. She never flew a small jet. She needs your prayers. We need to back her up, lift her up, and lift me up because I'm getting attacked. When somebody who's close to me says I need to put my comes to my face and says I need to put my big boy pants on, and grow up, I won't go into detail. It was so disgusting what I got yesterday. I won't go into detail. It was shameful.
We'll just lift you up too, Rabbi.
Thank you. Thank you, because you know, we've had a change in the office this week. I've had to hire a new secretary. You know, the previous one walked off the job for no reason. No reason given, right? She was my cleaning lady was told. I wasn't told. Keys weren't given back to me. Nothing. Just walked off the job for nothing. I mean, I had a nice conversation that morning, and then I called back an hour later, and she was gone. She was gone. Well, how am I supposed to run a ministry, take care of two boys, and run an office that I don't know how to run? I need a secretary. Praise the Lord. But God provided.
Time for the offering, Rabbi. Offering.
Thank you.
You're
thank you. This is important. This is important. But so God provided two secretaries. Amen?
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Let's take up our offering. And I may not preach a big sermon today. I've already preached a lot to you. But let's take up our offering and then let's worship the Lord. And I'll give you a very light sermon. Okay? Thank you.
Love you, Rabbi.
I had to get this out. I had to share it with you. Okay, so what is... let's pray for the offering. Wendell, would you come up and pray for the offering?
Father God, we just thank you, Lord, for blessing your people, Lord, so we could bless you back, God. God, we ask that, Lord, everyone be obedient in their giving, Lord. And, Lord, it will rebuke the devourer, Lord. Help us, Father. And Lord, bless those that don't have to give, Lord. Make a way, Father, that they would be able to give also, God. And we just ask you to bless this offering this morning, Lord. Multiply it, Father, for the needs of this ministry and this church, Lord, or the synagogue. And I thank you for it in Yeshua's name.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. And I just want to say, folks online, if you'd like to contribute to this ministry of Israel, we are your local connection to Israel. And if you'd like to support it, you're online. You can do so securely through PayPal. And we don't even get your address. So if you want a receipt, you have to email us or send us a text, a private message, because we can only receipt you PayPal. When you give on PayPal, we don't have no way to contact you unless we already have you in our database. So may God bless you all as you give.
Hallelujah.
Shabbat shalom.
Shana,
Shama Tovie, Bashana, Bashana, Abba, Otire, Otire, Ama Tovie, Bashana, Bashana, Abba. And the vines, they will grow, and tender leaves will blossom, and the fruit of our hands will be sweet. And the winds that bring change clear away the ashes, and as brothers will go forth to meet. And we'll see, wait and see what a world there can be. If we care, if we share, you and me. Wait and see what a world there can be. If we care, if we share, you and me. Make a bright tomorrow, and their vision remains in our hearts. Now the torch must be passed, hope but not in sorrow, and a promise to make a new start. Wait and see what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me. Wait and see what a world there can be, if we care, if we share, you and me.
Praise the Lord. Thank you. I love that song. That is probably a Jewish folk song from the 70s from Israel. Isn't that a nice song? Amen. What's next, honey?
We will run.
Okay. Praise, we will worship the name. All will bow before the glory of God. Resting place with all your power and might. We stand here clothed in your righteousness. Sing. We will worship the name, and all will bow before the glory of God. Bow before the glory of all will bow before the glory of God.
found thee alone. Salvation has come. We will dance, we will praise, we will worship the name. All will bow before the glory of God. All will bow before the glory of God. All will bow before the glory of God. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, sing a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. His name is salvation from day to day. Sing unto the Lord and bless his name. Shirul Adonai Baruch Hu Shemo, Srimi Yom Yom Yeshua To. Shirul Adonai Baruch Hu Shemo, Srimi Yom Yom Yeshua To.
Rejoice, O Zion, rejoice.
God in heaven, and here am I on earth. So let my words be filled. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
Margaret and Maria to help me today at the table to serve. And if you'd like to serve, would you like to serve today, Margaret? We're going to go to the Lord's table. And if you're watching at home and you'd like to join us, if you have some matzah or crackers or bread, if you have some fruit of the vine, some grape juice, or you're Manischewitz, whatever it is you like. You can get it ready now, and we're gonna come down to the Lord's table, okay? So I'm gonna turn my headset on, Carol. Test 1, 2. Okay. Praise the Lord. Like I said, forgive me for going on, but I had to get that out because it's not even about me. I get over things, and I know who I am, and I know where I'm going. It's people. When I don't want to see people lose their blessings in life. I don't want to see people cursed because they curse the man of God. I don't want to see them in bondage for doing when they do that. You know what I'm saying? So I know where I've been in the Lord's army for 22 years. I've traveled around the world. I've seen thousands saved. I've seen healings. I've seen demons cast. I was just preaching in a service in Haifa, Israel, an Ethiopian synagogue. Had an Ethiopian demon, a demon come out of an Ethiopian woman. She was shrieking. I had no idea it was going to happen. And she just manifested right in front of me, and I cast the demon out, and 7 Ethiopian guys surrounded her because I had a prayer line so long I couldn't deal with her. So I cast the demon out, and then she fell on the floor, and she was convulsing. And this was in Haifa, Israel, and I had no idea this was going to happen. My Presbyterian mother was sitting in the 3 rows in. She's watching this in horror. She's never seen a demon cast out. And, you know, but it's just, so I've got my treasure in heaven. I don't need, you know, I'm hearts to help you. Praise the Lord. All right. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, borei pari hagafen, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. And Yeshua, who said, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me will bear much fruit. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the 3rd day. Amen. Amen. It was on that Passover night, last Passover, that Yeshua was on earth with us, when he took the middle layer of 3 pieces and he broke it. We call it afikomen. He broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, do this in remembrance of me. That same Passover night, Yeshua took the cup, the 3rd cup of the Passover meal, and he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. And by doing so, he forever changed the meaning of Passover. He forever changed the meaning of Passover. Amen? And so, like Moses, 3,000 died, then 3,000 in the book of Acts lived, came into salvation, found life. That's what he accomplished at that table that night. He didn't do it at the table. He was telling them what he was going to do at the cross. So prepare your hearts. I want to just bow our heads for a second. If there's anyone here or watching on live stream, if there's anybody that doesn't know Yeshua, Jesus, as their Savior, if you don't know Yeshua, and just raise your hand if you don't know him. If you don't know Yeshua as your Savior, just raise your hand and I will pray with you. If you don't know Yeshua, if you don't have a relationship, if you don't know who he is or that God raised him from the dead on the 3rd day, that he died on the cross and was buried and rose from the dead, and that he forgives you of all unrighteousness and assures you salvation and eternal life, amen. Just raise your hand. If you're watching today, all you have to do, if you're watching and you don't know Yeshua, just say this with me. Just say, pray with me. Just say, dear God, I believe that you sent Yeshua, Jesus of Nazareth, to take my place, to take the punishment, because I've made mistakes. And your standard is perfection. And I've broken your standard. I've broken your law. That's why I need a sacrifice. That's why I need Yeshua. Come into my heart, Yeshua. Forgive me. Wash me. And put my name in your book of life forever. In Yeshua's name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today and you accepted the Messiah into your life, you invited him, then please contact me. Email me personally. I've got a gift for you. Or private message me on our Ministry for Zion's Sake on Facebook. You can go there. Please like our Facebook page anyway. Please like us on For Zion's Sake Ministries or our Yehuda Messianic Congregation. But more importantly, if you got saved today, send me a message. Or you can go on Facebook and private message me. And I have a gift for you. God bless you. God bless you all. Come as you're ready. The ladies will serve you, okay? Thank you. What?
We are a moment. You are for.
Test 1, 2. Okay. Praise the Lord. Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. Thank you. Margaret comes every week and cleans the synagogue. Let's give a round of applause for Margaret. She cleans upstairs. She puts the envelopes and she vacuums and she dusts and she does the bathrooms and she cleans downstairs all by herself. So let's give it up for Margaret. I know you can't do it with your hands, but I will. There we go. Actually, I wanted to see you do it. Crazy rabbi. Okay. Isn't God fun?
Yeah.
If God isn't fun, then you don't know my God. All right. L'chaim to life in Yeshua. Is the message next?
Yes.
Okay. Diane, would you help Xavier get the camera set here?
No,
it's not set. Just help him make sure it's on set, centered, and I'd say right. Close, a little closer up. Is it still set? Is it still set for live video? No? Okay. Excuse us. Is it still? Okay, so we don't wait till. All right. So get me centered. All right. All right, today's message has come out of my people, and I'm going to be brief today because I've gone long, so. Are we on? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Want to say shalom and welcome folks on Facebook who are joining us, Facebook Live. And today's message has come out of her, my people, which is in Revelation 18. So if you have a Bible, let's turn to Revelation 18. And we talked about this some last week. We may go on for a few weeks with this because it's a huge message. After these things, verse 1, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." So let's look at that for a second. It's obviously talking about the whore of Babylon, the harlot of Babylon, whatever you want to call her. Now obviously she's not a woman, because the nations, it says, have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality. The kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. I mean, even Stormy Daniels hasn't been that busy, right? Praise the Lord. You know, I mean, this is not a woman. This is a system. This is talking about a system of, whoredom, an antichrist system, an anti-messiah, amen? An anti-God system. That's what we're talking about here. And so it goes on, And it says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. Wow. Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues, for her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back even as she has paid, and give to her double according to her deeds in the cup which she has mixed. Mix twice as much for her. Wow. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am not a widow and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plagues will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong. Wow. That's pretty powerful, amen? So, who is she? Who is she? Who is this whore of Babylon that God's saying, come out of her, come out of this system? He's relating it to a harlot, you know, to a prostitute. But in reality, I don't think it's a singular woman. It may be represented by one, you know. Some of you could think of someone. You know, I said last week, I talked about I had a dream where I was in a mansion and I was looking out this big, huge Victorian mansion. I was looking out the window and there was a road in front of the mansion, and I saw this, like if you ever saw The Chronicles of Narnia, the movie, and you saw the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the Queen of Narnia. And she was like her. She was white and she was icy, and she was riding a bicycle down this hill, and the bike was flying. I mean, she was going down fast, and she was just zooming down that hill, and I was the hair on the back in my dream. The hair on the back of my neck stood up, and I had fear. You know, I had fear, and I was glad to be inside. I felt protected. Somehow the mansion was protecting me, and she was going down. The bike was going fast, and I heard a voice say, the Queen of Heaven, who's mentioned here, who's the same as the Whore of Babylon, the Queen of Heaven is going down fast. The Queen of Heaven is going down fast. So, the Whore of Babylon is going down fast. She's going down. Everybody say she's going down. She's going down. And her days are numbered. But just like Jezebel scared the pants off old Elijah, right? Remember Elijah slew the prophets of Baal? And you know, they didn't know... Elijah slew the prophets of Baal, and he got scared, and he ran 200 miles... or more to Mount Sinai to get away from Jezebel. That's the I felt intimidated by her. You know, she was a creepy, scary lady. You ever been around somebody creepy? Remember when you were a kid? Did you ever go around somebody's house and somebody, you know, somebody's mother or father was kind of creepy or clammy? You just didn't want to be around them or something. You know, did you ever have that experience? Growing up, you know, it's like, and you know, you felt trapped because you were sleeping over, you know, your friend's house, and you had no way to get out of it, so you just kind of sucked it up and waited till your mother picked you up. You know what I mean? So who is she? Is she the Catholic Church? Well, is she the Catholic Church? Is she the system of you know, so a lot of people have said that it's the Catholic Church. Is she Islam? Possibly. Is she some world system? Is it the system of based around oil? You know, the financial system based around oil markets? You know, petroleum, which, you know, we drive cars. We have an addiction. Every one of us is addicted. And those of us who don't have cars because we can't afford them, we're still addicted because we got to get a bus or we got to get somebody who has a car to drive us. We're all addicted to gas, not the gas you get from going to Bristol Barbecue. We're all addicted to gasoline, petroleum. Amen? Amen? You wouldn't be able to drive your car. You wouldn't run your generator or your lawnmower or your rider mower or your tractor if you didn't have gasoline or your motorcycle or your boat or your four-wheeler. Any of those things wouldn't run, your wet bike, whatever, without gasoline. Amen? Without oil. So, I know, I'm terrible. Anyway, so the whole world is dependent, is addicted to oil. And so, you know, somebody said Islam. Could it be talking about the oil-rich nations and the power of the petroleum OPEC and the petroleum industry over us, over the markets? You know, when oil goes up, you know, when $4 gas went up several years ago, that's when that caused GM, General Motors, to almost go out of business, and Ford almost went out of business. $4 gasoline in 2007 almost caused Ford, Chrysler actually was sold, and General Motors was bailed out, and Ford barely made it through without a bailout because gasoline went to $4. They stopped making trucks. They started making these little Priuses and little, zippy cars, little zippies and Priuses and Versas and, amen, you know, to get around. Nobody wanted those. Everybody wanted a pickup truck. Everybody wanted a van. Everybody wanted a pickup truck. Everybody wanted an SUV. So they started making SUVs and pickup trucks that got better fuel mileage, that had turbo engines and smaller engines with turbo and stuff like that, and to make them more fuel efficient. All right, so let's pray for the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word today. In the name of Yeshua, we just give you the praise and the glory, and we bind the strong man. I take authority. I thank you that you give me the word today, and forgive me for going long before, but I felt I had to say what I said, so I don't always do that, but this week I had to say it. We pray for Dawn, Lord, as she goes into her tank tonight, as she goes into the simulator. We pray for success. We pray that you help her. She said this is going to be the hardest night she's had in her whole training. We just pray for grace, strength, and just bless her, and for victory. Pray for victory, and we bind the enemy. Help her to remember, and help her to do it well, and be, just give her the victory. In Yeshua's name, I pray also for anybody here. Pray for David Peters, my friend David Peters. I pray for him as he's gone home from the hospital. I pray for healing for David Peters and Vicky. Pray for Vicky for strength. I pray for Vicky for help her with the boys and the taking care of the family while David's out. I pray for provision for the family while he's out of work. And I just pray that you help them and meet all their needs, Lord. And in the name of Yeshua, and I lift up all the needs. Just raise your hand if you have a need, and God knows what it is. And I just pray for all the needs we have here today. Just raise your hand. And I just pray for everybody's needs today, Lord, for healing, for finances, for help, for labor, whatever it is they need, whether it's a gardener or a painter or money for a bill. I pray that you help each person here today with every need they have, healing, sickness, you name it. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you, Lord. I pray for our children. Pray for Isaac as he goes out on the football field in Maryville today. I pray for success, for victory, and that you give your angels charge over him, keep him safe and healthy, no injuries, and protect all those boys from Tennessee High as they go out on the field and do battle in Maryville today. And in Yeshua's name, amen. All right, so any
Whether it's religious, whether it's business, whether it's the Catholic, some said the Catholic Church. Pastor Bill taught on replacement theology for 2 weeks. He taught on a church that is anti-Israel. Not saying the whole church. He's saying part of the church that is anti-Israel. It calls itself the church. They may not even be the church. You know, I asked a question on Facebook last night. I said, what's more important? Is it more, number one, is it more important to be a Christian? Number two, is it more important to be a follower of Yeshua, of Jesus? Number three, is it more important to be messianic? And people were struggling, but most people said number two, to be a follower of Yeshua. And that's the answer. The most important thing to be is a follower of Yeshua. Amen? Because I've been in churches, and I've been in messianic congregations, but mostly churches, and I've preached around the world. I remember I was in one church, denominational church. I was in Destin, Florida, and I preached there one Sunday morning when I was traveling around the U.S. on a bus, on a Prevost bus, and 15 people that thought they were Christians got saved. 15. One service, Sunday morning. Stood up for salvation, came to the altar. They thought they were Christians. They thought they were of that denomination, but they didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay? So you can think you're a Christian and go to hell, and God will say, depart from me. I never knew you. Amen? And you can think you're messianic and not know Yeshua and go to a messianic congregation and be sitting there lost as can be. Amen? But if you're a follower of the Messiah, that's the most important part. Now, I've already talked about the golden calf and all that, so I've already given you part of the message, really. Now, I have a question for you. I'm going to talk about the religious aspect of coming out of her, because let's look at the beast for a second before we do that. Who is the beast? Now, it says, go back to Revelation 17. In verse 3, John the Revelator, St. John the Revelator, it says, and he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast full of blasphemous names, having 7 heads and 10 horns. The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality. And on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon, the great mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Okay. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of witnesses of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered greatly. So she kills God's people. She kills the blood. She kills the saints. This system, this beast system. She's the one that controls the beast. Okay? Now, to understand the beast, first of all, well let me just say historically, Tyre was referred to in Ezekiel. If we turn to Ezekiel 28, I believe it is. Oftentimes throughout the Bible, God referred to different cities as the whore, as the harlot. And, but that changes over time, because Tyre is not a threat to the world today like other countries are. So as time changes and nations develop, come and go and rise and fall, so does the beast system. So America wasn't there. When John the Revelator saw this beast riding the whore, riding the beast, America didn't exist, right? So when God made reference to it, let's look in Ezekiel 28. Let's me see here. Ezekiel 28:13. Verse 11, again the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre, and say to him, Thus says the Lord God, you had the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, and the workmanship, and the settings of your sockets was in on the day that you were created. They were prepared. You were the anointed cherub who covers, and I placed you there. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire. You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until the day until unrighteousness was found in you. By the abundance of your trade, you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore, I have cast you as profane from the mountain of God. I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you by the multitude of your iniquities. So you see this here. It's very similar. It's talking, and you see the precious stones. And you go back to the harlot, and it says, that she was adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand, you know. It's very similar talk. Another similarity we see is Egypt. When it says, come out of her, my people, this is almost like God said, let my people go to the devil. He's saying to the devil, let my people go. And so you can go back to Egypt to compare to this to Revelation, where it says, come out of her, my people. It's as though God was saying to Egypt, the Jews in Egypt, come out of her, my people, because the plagues... He even mentions plagues in Revelation. Plagues are going to come upon her. Come out. Do not get mixed up. Do not drink the wine of her fornications. That's what it says. Do not drink the wine of her fornications or suffer the consequences. I believe many people, Romans 1 says that people who mock God enough will be given over to the they will be given over to their reprobate minds. He will give them over to their reprobate minds in the last days, and he will put them. You know, they'll turn away from God, and then when God does something, they'll shake their fist at him. You know, and they will hate God, and that's what we're starting to see. Without getting political or anything, we're starting to see that in a big way. The world, and it's what it is it's the globalists, People Without Borders, and that's the name of an organization, People Without Borders. They want one central government. Turn to Genesis 11, Tower of Babel. This is where it started. People without borders, no borders, one language, one central government, one central government, and one currency, control. They want to control you. They want to control what you eat. They want to control what you think. They want to control. They don't want you to have guns. They don't want you to have Bibles. They want you to worship the beast. Not the Bible, not the God of the Bible. Amen. They want you to eat what they want you to eat. They want to control every aspect of your life. They want to put a chip in you, in your arm, or in your forehead. They want to know where you are at all moments. They want to put it, you want, with that chip, when that chip comes in you, Terry would know this. Are they putting those chips in soldiers? Yes. They're putting those RFID chips in soldiers, okay? In all soldiers or some? Some. They're putting those RFID chips. You remember the Bourne Supremacy or the Bourne Identity? Jason Bourne, anybody ever see that? If you like thrillers, it's a pretty good thriller. And it's violent, but he had like an RFID chip in him, and they could follow him. They knew where he was. And you know, it controlled his mind and his thinking. And that's what they're trying to do. They want to control you, every aspect of your life. They won't let you buy or sell. You know, if you take the mark of the beast, amen? So let's read in Genesis 11. Now the whole earth used the same language and the same words. It came about as they journeyed east, and they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. They said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build for ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach unto heaven. Let us make for ourselves a name, otherwise we will be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. The Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all the same language. And this is what they began to do. And now nothing which they purpose to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, which means confusion, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Later on, the Bible tells us that God set the boundaries of the nations. God set the boundaries of the nations. God created the Spaniards, and God created the Italians, and God created the Jews, and God created the Chinese, and God created the French, and God created the Guatemalans, and God created the Argentines, and God created the Mayans, and God created the Cherokees, and God created the United States of America and Israel. Amen? God created. And God set the boundaries of the United States. And God set the boundaries of Canada. And God set the boundaries of Mexico. And God set the boundaries of England and Wales and Scotland and Ireland. And God set the boundaries of Europe and Germany and Belgium and Eastern Europe, Macedonia and the Balkans. And Russia just invaded Crimea, which belongs to Ukraine, which was a violation of of national sovereignty. But the world did nothing, because the world doesn't believe in boundaries. The world doesn't believe in borders. And the world is willing to sell its soul to the devil if the devil will just give it gas. And you know what Russia has? Lots of gas. I'm talking about gasoline, and I'm talking about methane gas. You know, like, what do you call it? Natural gas. Amen? Natural gas. Russia has a lot of gas. Praise the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? And Germany has just sold its soul to Russia for gas. Germany, our ally, NATO ally, just made a big deal with Russia. The evil empire, Darth Vader. Germany just made and Germany's the original Darth Vader. Amen? And they made a deal with Russia to buy millions and millions of dollars of gas, billions of dollars of gas for time. We have all that. We could supply them. Amen? We could supply them. So why Trump's over there trying to fix things. He's trying to work it out. You know, he's trying to straighten things out. Amen? Okay. So, so we see here that this whole system that we're fighting, what's fighting is that people who believe in the one true God, people who believe in the Constitution and borders, people who believe in law and order, people who believe in the Bible and Jesus Christ and Yeshua, people who believe in people who support Donald Trump, people who believe in borders. These are all people who believe in or are against one world government are the enemy. You're calling people like that deplorable, irredeemable, child haters, Nazis. They call Donald Trump Hitler, and they call on people that support him or people, you know, Peter Strzok, the guy that from the FBI that they're testifying, said in one of his text messages, he said he came down to a Walmart in Southwest Virginia. I wonder where that was. Yeah. Came down, and he says he could smell the stench. He said the stench of Trump voters. He could smell the stench of Trump voters. That's what he said. In Nazi Germany in 1931, the campaign to dehumanize the Jews began with the media. Yeah. It began with the media in 1931. By 8 years later, in 1939, Jews couldn't leave Germany. It started with the media, and the people were brainwashed by the big media, and they were the propaganda convinced the majority of the people to turn against the Jews. Well, guess what? This time, it's not just the Jews they're going to turn against; it's going to be Christians too. And you know what happened to the Christians? Do you know that Germany before Hitler was one of the most evangelical countries in the world? That Germany before Hitler was one of the most evangelical countries in the world. How could a country with a strong church, with an evangelical church that preached the gospel, turn on the very people that brought them everything spiritual? Romans 15. Turn to hold your place in Genesis. Return to Romans 15. Okay. Romans 15. Verse 25, but now I am going to Jerusalem, serving the saints, Paul says. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in their spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Wow. So everything that the church has... This is the church of Germany that I'm talking about that persecuted the Jews during World War II. Christian soldiers who fought for Hitler, who killed Jews. And Paul says, for Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make a contribution. This is after the resurrection. For the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Jews. Yes, they were pleased to do so, and they are indebted to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews, spiritual things, they are indebted to minister to them also in material things. Are they supposed to kill them? Are they supposed to turn them into Hitler? Are they indebted to turn them over and put them in concentration camps and burn them in ovens? Or are they indebted to give them food, water, clothing, shelter, and help them materially? What does it say? Capiche? How could a whole country like Germany turn? Well, let me tell you something. It only took 8 years for Germany. How long has the media, how long has the campaign to dehumanize Christians, Jews, conservatives, pro-gun people, how long has the campaign been going on to demonize pro-gun. I remember it was going on in the 90s. And then again in 2008, 2009, under Obama, they were talking about taking people's guns away. People were going to gun stores, buying them off the shelves like hotcakes and sausage, storing up ammo. Right? You know, they sold more guns. Obama was the best thing for the gun industry that's ever happened. Other companies have gone out of business since Obama left because they're not afraid anymore. It could happen next week. It could happen in 6 months. I'm telling you, this country is headed. We're not only headed for a civil war, we're in one. We're not headed for a civil war. We're in a civil war. Right now, it's a war mostly of words and calling names, but words turn into violence. They always do. Historically, they always have. And that's what's happening right now. We're in a civil war. It all started, if you look back to the history of the Civil War, it started with words. It started people hated, they didn't like Abraham Lincoln, the South didn't like, you know, they wanted, there was a call for secession from the South, and you know, they didn't want to be subject to the North, to Lincoln. It was a war of words. If you study it, there was a big war of words, and slavery was a big issue. They wanted, the people in the South depended on the slaves in order to keep their economy going. South was poor, and they used slave labor. Not saying it was right. I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying they did it. They used slave labor to prosper. Abraham Lincoln wanted to bring an end to slavery, and he did. He did. And he was killed for it. There was a war, a bloody war. I just came from Gettysburg. How many people died? Was it 50 million in the Civil War? I think something like 50 million Americans died in the Civil War. It was the bloodiest war that we have ever had in this country. Was the, I believe I'm right about that. The American Civil War. I think it was George Washington or Abe Lincoln who said, we won't be destroyed from without, we'll be destroyed from within. We'll destroy ourselves. We won't be destroyed from without, we'll be destroyed from within. Okay. So, praise the Lord. So let's look at the beast. Turn to Revelation 13, then I'm going to conclude. A stack of newsletters here. Oh, there you are. Okay, Revelation 13. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet was like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshipped the dragon, who he gave his authority to the beast. And who is the dragon? Well, and it's right. It says in Revelation 12, that the dragon is Satan of old. Verse 9 of Revelation 12, go back, it says, and the great dragon was thrown down, the serpent of old, who is called the devil and Satan. That's who the dragon is, okay? So again, Revelation 13, 1, and the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw a beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head the 10 crowns, and on his heads were blasphemous names, so 10 kings, 10 kingdoms. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. Now, I said to you earlier, God talked about Tyre and Sidon. God talked about other nations and referred the devil to them. But these are nations of old that have no consequence today, like Lebanon. Lebanon's not a big deal in the world. It's not a big it's not a threat to the United States. It's not even a threat to Israel, really, Lebanon. In fact, the Bible says Lebanon's going to be destroyed, utterly. Going to be destroyed. Just, you can look that up. Anyway, as time changes, so do the meanings and the names of gods of the nation. So a beast in the Bible, everybody say, prophetically, a beast represents a nation. Everybody say that. Prophetically, a beast represents a nation. Now, Balaam's donkey didn't represent a nation because it wasn't a prophetic beast. It was just a donkey. And the donkey that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on wasn't a prophetic beast. It was just a donkey. It was just a donkey. Amen? It represented humility, but it didn't represent a nation. Okay? But prophetically, a beast, like a lion, what countries today, now we can go back to the time of Daniel or John, but we were here now, and this is prophecy, and we're living this now. What countries is represented by the lion today? England. England. Where's the president yesterday? England. England. You know what country is represented by the leopard? Well, interestingly, during World War II, Hitler, the leopard was one of the national symbols of Nazi Germany. Okay? Now it's the eagle. The black eagle is the national symbol of Germany. But in the time of Hitler, in the past, the leopard. Now, I have wondered, in another country who the leopard with four heads and wings represents is Iran. Iran is their national symbol is the leopard, not with four heads, but the leopard is the symbol of Iran. The bear... The brown bear, the grizzly bear, is Russia. Is Russia. And it's interesting, if you turn, are you enjoying this or you want me to stop? I'll just go a couple more minutes. Turn back to Daniel 7. Hold your place in Revelation. Turn to Daniel 7. I promise I won't. I won't go much further. Somebody said, "Yeah." All right, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions in his mind as he lay on his bed. He wrote the dream down and related the following summary of it. Daniel said, "I was looking in my night vision. Behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea." Okay, let me just explain something. The great sea represents the Gentiles, the nations. The great sea or the ocean represents the Gentiles, the nations, the multitudes, okay? So it says the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea and four great beasts were coming up from the sea, different from one another. The first was like a lion and had the wings of an eagle. Well, in Daniel's time, there was no England, was there? But there was a country that had a lion with wings of an eagle. And you know what it was? Babylon. Babylonia. The symbol of Babylonia, of Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, the symbol of ancient Babylonia before it was taken over by Persia, was the lion with the wings of an eagle. Okay? Now let's go on. But today, It's England. All right. Let's go on. So the first was like a lion that had the wings of an eagle, verse 4. I kept looking until its wings were plucked. Oh my. And it lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. A human mind was also given to it. Behold, another beast, the second one, resembling a bear. It was raised up on one side, and 3 ribs were in its mouth and between its teeth. And thus they said to it, arise, devour much meat. 3 ribs, I believe, represent Napoleon's army, 1812. Napoleon, in June, I think it was 1812, Napoleon attacked Russia. And he went in June, and he went, and the Russian winter caught him, and several hundred thousand of his men, of his million-man army, died. Several hundred thousand men of his million-man army died. And they had no shoes, and they had frostbite, and cholera, and typhus, tuberculosis, all kinds of horrible diseases, and no food. The Russian, they got sucked in by the Russian winter, and it destroyed Napoleon's army, and he never conquered Russia. Hitler tried, the second rib was Hitler. In June of 1940, Hitler launched the Blitzkrieg, very same day, I believe, that Napoleon tried it. Hitler thought, we're going to go to Moscow, but we don't have horses, we have tanks, and we have planes, and he started rushing across Poland and into Russia and zooming across the farmland, and then he got held up in St. Petersburg and in other places. The Russians held them up, and they got to Moscow all right. You know what the Russians did? They took about, I don't know, 50,000 German prisoners, and they fed them soup with laxatives in it. And they made those prisoners march through Moscow. And then they made them clean it up after they marched through and humiliated them. That's what the Russians did. The Germans wanted to conquer Moscow. They got to go to Moscow, all right, as prisoners. And they got hung up in Stalingrad and the winter. And what happened to the German army? They had to retreat. They lost millions of men. It destroyed them. Hitler opening the second front destroyed its. He lost the war because he attacked Russia. His greed caused him to lose the war. That's the second rib. Who's the third one? I think it's us. I think the biggest threat to the United States is Russia. I think we're the third rib. I'm going to keep going. I'll tell you why. All right. And behold, another beast, the second one resembling a bear, and it was raised up. So it had 3 ribs were in its mouth and its teeth. And I had a dream one time. I have a lot of dreams. And Don and I and the boys were playing down by a river, and a big brown bear started coming up, chasing, running towards us. And again, I felt that hair on the back of my neck rise up. And there was a cabin, and we ran to the cabin, and the cabin had a deck, and we were able to get into the cabin and up on the deck, and the deck didn't have stairs. It was high up, but you had to come out from upstairs, from inside, to get out to the deck. And the bear was down below, and he couldn't get up on the deck, but it scared the pants off me. And that was about 12, 14 years ago. And I felt that's Russia coming for us. Okay. So let's go on. Verse 6. After this, I kept looking, and behold, another one like a leopard, which had on its back 4 wings of a bird, and the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. Praise the Lord. The leopard. Who knows what the leopard represents? Iran? Amen. Yeah, Iran. I think Iran is the leopard. That's what I said before, Iran. But also Germany. So it could be either Germany or Iran, one or the other. I'm not quite... I've been saying Iran for 2 years, But I'm almost starting to wonder if Germany is going to come back, and because Germany's turning against us, and they're the most powerful country in the European Union. So we'll see if it's Germany or Iran. But either one, yeah, you're not wrong. And then he said, After I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying, extremely strong, had large iron teeth that devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder of its feet. And it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And he saw this, and he didn't know what it was. It was the dragon. So we go back to Revelation 13. Now notice one difference. He saw four beasts in Daniel 7, but they were separate. Okay? So we got, in modern times, we got Russia, England, Iran, or Germany, and we've got, what's the dragon? China. China's symbol is the panda bear and the dragon. But guess who else has the dragon? England. England and China share the dragon. The dragon represents Satan. So they're separate. When Daniel saw them, they were separate, and there were 10 kingdoms, 10 diadems. Okay, remember the beast, the whore. Remember the whore who rode the beast. 10 kingdoms hated her. She had 10 enemies. Okay. Now, Revelation 13, let's go to the beginning, verse 1, and then I'm going to bring it home. And the dragon stood on the sand of the seashore. Then I saw the beast coming up out of the sea, having 10 horns, 7 heads, and on his horns were 10 diadems, and on his head were blasphemous names. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were like those of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his throne and great authority. I saw one of his heads as if it had been slain, and his fatal wound was healed. And the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. They worshipped the dragon because he gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to wage war with him?" Well, we notice two things here. It's the same beast that comes up out of the sea. He's standing on the seashore, right? It's the same beast, except one thing. Now it's a conglomeration of nations. Remember, prophetic beast represents a nation. So now the nations are a confederacy. They're not separate. So it's Russia, England, Germany maybe, or Iran. I'm a little bit, right now I'm not quite sure, because Iran's going to get blown to pieces. For their weapons, the nuclear weapons. We'll see. Iran may not have the power. Germany does. Germany is the most powerful country in Europe, besides England. Okay. So that we see a confederacy, and we see the dragon clearly in this, and the dragon gives the beast its power, and they worship the dragon. But what's missing from Daniel 7, what's missing in Revelation 13? Remember the lion with the wings of an eagle? You don't hear about the wings of an eagle in Revelation 13, do you? Just go back to Revelation 12. And it says, verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was thrown down to earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the male child. But the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman so that she could fly into the wilderness to her place, where she was nourished for time, times, and half a time from the presence of the serpent. And the serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman so that he might cause her to be swept away with the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and drank up the river which the dragon poured out of his mouth. So the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children who keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of Jesus." Well, the woman is Israel. The woman is the remnant of true believers in the church. I believe, those who are connected to the Jewish people as well, just like you are here today. Amen? And it says the two wings of the great eagle were given to the woman. So we see the wings in Daniel 7. It says the very first thing, it says we see the lion, and the lion had the wings of an eagle, but they were plucked. In Revelation 13, we see the lion with no wings. But we go back to Revelation 12, and there is the two wings of the great eagle are given to the woman to fly her people into the wilderness for time, times, and half a time. That's going to be the greatest and final act of the United States. The United States is the eagle. The United States, before it falls, and I believe that's coming, we're seeing the end of the United States. I'm going to go so far as to say the United States is a bygone nation, that we're just living out the last gasps of the United States, and that we're going to Israel. If you, those who has ears to hear, the only nation, Jeremiah 30 verse 10 says, the only nation that won't be destroyed in this world is Israel. And in Zechariah 12 says all the nations of the world will attack Israel, all the nations of the earth. The only thing stopping them from attacking Israel, the United Nations hates Israel, is the United States. If you look on my Facebook page, those who know me, my name on Facebook, you'll see a post I did last night from Nikki Haley. She's so pro-Israel. Once she's gone, once Trump's gone, all this pro-Israel stuff's going to go, and the nations will attack Israel. And that's what's going to bring the Lord home. The last great act of the United States, the two wings of the great eagle, are the United States today, prophetically. And they're going to be plucked soon. And the last act we're going to do, what John saw, was the two wings being given to the people of Israel, the Jewish people, to fly out of trouble into the wilderness, to fly to Israel. That's why Don's becoming a jet pilot, to help fly us. I've been saying it for 22 years. That's why we're under so much attack. That's why I need you to circle the wagons and stand together with us. I need you folks at home to pray with us. Pray for us, not against us. Join us. Join us. When trouble comes, be with us. Take hold of the fringes of the Jews. Zechariah 8:23. For you, read it. Zechariah 8:23. The eagle, the last great act of America, is going to be when the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy and C-130s and other transport planes fly and ships carry Jewish people and many Christians who have ears to hear and eyes to see, the handwriting on the wall, to leave this country, because like Nazi Germany, it's coming. People who have ears to hear and eyes to see will know who to go to get out. And Donald Trump's going to help. I've often wondered. I've been planning this, and the Jews leaving the country. I've known it for years. It's going to happen. Why? Because God said so. He said in the Law of Jubilee in Leviticus 25 that He would call His people back to Israel and give them back the land, restore them to the land. So to fulfill the Law of Jubilee in Leviticus 25, the Jews have to leave the nations of the world and go home and be restored to their land. Many Christians will go with them. Ezekiel 47:21 says the Christian who's the Messianic Christian, the Christian who sojourns with the Jew, will be treated like a natural born citizen and given an inheritance in the land of Israel. Ezekiel 47:21 says that. You can look it up. For those of you who, if you don't write this down, you can get it on, it'll be on archived, or you can order a CD. It'll be archived on our website. You can listen to this message. America, the last great act of America is going to be when civilian jets fly the 6.7 million Jews, or however many are willing to go, back to Israel. However many Christians are willing to go with them, Messianics, those who don't rebel. That's what I was talking about this morning, is rebellion. Those who don't rebel against the Jewish people, especially the Messianic Jews, the ones who have the vision prophetically. Jews don't have a prophetic vision. Messianic Jews do. We know the Lord. You have the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy. Did you know that? It says it in Revelation. The Spirit of the Lord is the spirit of prophecy. Messianic Jews are very prophetic. John said salvation is from the Jews. So I'm going to end with this. I'm going to say the last great act is when Donald Trump is going to use the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy. I always wondered, how are we going to fly 6.7 million Jews and Christians out of America and get them to Israel without getting blown out of the sky? And then it hit me when I read Revelation 12 and I saw Donald Trump take power and said, Trump's going to use the military, and F-35s and whatever, F-22s are going to fly alongside, and, you know, fighter bombers and fighter jets, and they're going to refuel in the air, and submarines and aircraft carriers, and they're going to protect, and they're going to deflect missiles trying to shoot Jews out of the sky. God's going to do it. He's going to bring the Jews home. And I encourage you to say, Lord, I want to ride that train. Lord, I want to ride that train. And I guarantee, now some people say, well, the rapture's going to come, Rabbi Joe. I say, well, I hope so. I hope you're right. But if, I always say, hope for the best and prepare for the worst. If you have to go to Israel first, like God said, come out of her, my people, right? Come out of her, my people. He said, told the children of Israel, come out of Egypt before the plagues. He said, gird your loins, put staves in your hands, sandals on your feet, ready to go at a moment's notice. He didn't take them up. He took them into the desert. Then Revelation 12 says, he's going to fly them into the desert. So get ready to go to the desert. Hope for the best, prepare for the worst. If you're a rapture person, I believe in a rapture. I'm a last day rapture person. I believe the rapture's on the last day. And that's going to be after this. America's going to be gone before the rapture. I'm not talking about the second coming of Jesus. I'm talking about the end of the United States and the beast. And the beast system taking over. See, what's happening right now with Brexit? What's happening right now with Trump pushing for Brexit, to pull out, for England to pull out of the European Union? She's faking it. They're not going to pull out of the European Union. England's never going to pull out because they're part of it. They're one of the four beasts. They're part of the beast that the whore rides. Maybe next week we'll get to who the whore is. But America, Trump is doing is he's fighting this globalist, Illuminati, Council of Foreign Relations, all this one world government stuff. He's fighting it. The UN, he's fighting it. He's fighting People Without Borders. He's fighting for lawful immigration. He's fighting for all these things. And that's why the storm against him is so strong. And the attack against him is so strong. He's fighting for your rights to bear arms, for free speech. He's fighting for your rights to maintain your freedom. Because the world, the government, the UN, they're going to take it away. They're going to put that chip in you. They're going to take away your guns. And you'll be helpless. Stand up. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall bless my people. Yivrechech Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai Panavelecha, Vayasem Lecha, Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you shalom. In Yeshua's name, folks at home, thank you for watching. Folks on Facebook, we love you. Diane, if you'll shut that off, please, and just appreciate it. And Wendell, if